Number 488 will be the song of invitation this morning after our study. It is a beautiful morning. Blessing to be here. It's great to look out and see everyone. We do have some folks missing. Shirley Baines, I was asking in class about her. Apparently, yes, she's sick and she's at home this morning dealing with some blood pressure issues. So keep her in your prayers. But it is good to see everyone that is here this morning. And we're going to be talking about poison this morning. Poison. A couple of weeks ago, we were in Wednesday night class, and we were in Acts, the 14th chapter, and we came across this word, poison, and I thought that this would be something good to think about. Poisoning our minds is a real threat, especially in our culture today. There are so many avenues through which our minds can become poisoned by the things of this world. More so than perhaps any other time in history. The access that we have to the poison of Satan is all around us. Wouldn't you agree with that? And the impact of the things that we see and hear, let us never be guilty of overlooking the impact that what we see and hear has on our minds and on our spiritual life. In Acts the 14th chapter and verse 1, remember we were studying this, it says, "Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and to stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra, Derbe, and to Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region, and they were preaching the gospel there." So because people's minds in Iconium had become poisoned, Paul and Barnabas had to flee the city, and it caused a lot of trouble for them. When you think about poison, you know, we are surrounded in this world by poison. Physical things that can destroy our physical body, even some elements like mercury. There are poisons that are found in even seeds of an apple. Where do you think cyanide comes from? Even the most healthy thing that you may think of, an apple, in the middle of it is something that can kill you. Of course, not enough in an apple seed to kill you, but the cyanide is there. And there are so many different kinds of poison, even radioactive poison, polonium. You have things that in fact are not poisonous to some people, but very poisonous to another. When Brandon was still in high school and was in the marching band, Denise and I rode with the band bus up to Osceola for a playoff football game. And I had stopped by Leon's grocery store, Billy's grocery there in Pine Bluff, and bought me a big old bag of peanuts. I love peanuts. And was going to take them up there. And we did. Took them up there. And we were sitting there eating peanuts during the football game. And there was a commotion behind us. And there was this girl who was apparently allergic to peanuts. And they had to rush her to the hospital. She almost died. Because I had a bag of peanuts. Now somebody else may have had some too, but I think it was my bag of peanuts. Very poisonous to that little girl. Felt terrible about that. Things that may be fine for you may not be fine for somebody else. You know, those principles apply also in the spiritual realm. If you stop and think about it. There are many things that are dangerous for us. Physically, how many of us would eat something knowingly that it was poisonous, that it would kill us? How many of us would do that? We knew that there was poison in an apple. How many of us would eat it if we knew that it would kill us? Or let me ask you this. How many of you would pick up a Black Mamba? How many of you would do that? You're dead in 20 minutes if you don't get the vaccine. You're dead in 20 minutes or less. The most deadliest snake on the planet. And very aggressive. There's a show on television called Snake City in Durban, South Africa. These people, they go and they catch snakes in your house or wherever for $30. For $30, they'll go and catch a Black Mamba. Francis shook it. That's crazy, isn't it? But why would we not touch a Black Mamba? Or why would we not eat or drink poison? Because we want to protect ourselves. Do we not know that it's more important to protect ourselves spiritually than it is physically? Do we not understand that? How many of us would knowingly accept words or images if we knew that those words and images would destroy us spiritually? How many of us would allow those things into our minds if we knew that they would kill us spiritually? You know, Jesus talks about the danger of sin. He says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Do we understand the seriousness of sin and taking necessary precautions to keep from falling into sin? Now listen, sin occurs when a temptation enters into our mind through our eyes or through our ears, and then we behold that temptation, we think about that temptation, and we fulfill that temptation with our flesh in a way that is ungodly. We yield to something that is ungodly, and that brings about spiritual death. James 1 verse 13 says, or verse 14 says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Now, how do these desires get into our minds? Where do these desires come from? Some say, well, it comes from within us. Yeah, but you know what? There's nothing in us that has not been put in us. There is nothing in us that has not been taken in by us. Right? I mean, you have to learn things. And temptations come through, you know, you think about Genesis chapter 3 and Eve. What happened? She saw the tree and it was good for food. And the fruit on that tree looked really good. It looked good for food. And Satan made sure he pointed it out to her and told her that not only was it good for food, it'll make you wise. Not only is it good for food, it'll make you like God. And so the thought then was put in Eve's head and Eve yielded. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And when desire has conceived, a person thinks about these things in his mind. It then gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do we realize the seriousness of sin? And that really temptation, all it is some form of spiritual poison. Proverbs chapter 23 verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We are responsible for what we think. Proverbs 4 verses 1 through 27. In fact, if you were to just turn back to Proverbs chapter 4 real quick, if you go through that text, one of the things that you're going to see is over and over again the wise man saying, in fact, look at verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. Okay? There are certain things that we are to take into our minds. We are to receive and give attention to. Verse 4, he says, let your heart retain my words. Let those words remain in your mind. Verse 5, do not forget to turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. Verse 6, love her. Verse 7, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. These are things that we are to seek after, that we are to take in to our mind. We're to exalt her. Verse 10, hear, my son, and receive my say. And this is over and over again. Take firm hold of instruction, verse 13. And so then you have some negative things in verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Okay, so don't go where these poisonous things are. You take in the things that I have taught you and avoid that evil way. Don't travel in it. Turn away from it. Pass on, verse 15. Verse 18, but the path of the just is like the shining sun. Why? Because the just is listening to the things of God and hearing those things. Words of actions, words and actions, I'm sorry, come from the heart. Jesus makes that point in Matthew 15, verses 18 and 19. The things that we do, the things that we say come from the heart. But you know what? We determine what goes into our heart. Garbage in, garbage out. That is the truth. If you put godly in, what's going to come out? We determine what goes into our hearts. And we see this throughout the Scripture. Both God and Satan desire to have control over our thought life. But here's the key. We determine who does have control over our thought life. We make that determination ourselves. Again, Proverbs 4. We choose. Look in Proverbs 4 again. You go down to verse 27. We're actually backing up to verse 23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. That's our responsibility. Verse 27, do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. We make that choice. So, who will we allow, who will we determine to have control over our thoughts? How we think. We determine. The question is, who will we allow to have control over our minds? In Romans 8 and verse 5, Paul there talks about those who have set their minds on carnal things. They set their minds. You know, we set our minds, or set your mind on spiritual things. That's our choice. We choose. Colossians 3 and verse 2, set your mind on things above. That's our choice and our responsibility, I might add. Philippians 3 and verse 19, the end of those who set their mind on things, on earthly things, is what? Death. And it says in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5 that we are to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now listen, if I am bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ, who is it that is having control of my thought life? It's Jesus. I've submitted my thoughts to Jesus. I've submitted my mind to be governed by Him. And that's where it all starts. You know, if we want to do what's right, we're going to have to think what's right. We talked about these things a couple of weeks ago in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Verses 8 and 9. So we were talking about the things that we're to think on. In that lesson, we focus on the positive things. So think on the things of God. If we feed on the things of God, then the peace of God will certainly be with us. And we will be who we ought to be. We will do what we ought to do. In Romans chapter 1, in verses 21, actually beginning up in verse 18, but we're going to start in verse 21. It says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. Now, they didn't start out that way. They became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. How did their hearts become darkened? Well, they began to think, well, like Satan, like darkness. The realm of Satan is often referred to in Scripture as that of darkness. Sin is darkness. Unrighteousness is darkness. And their foolish hearts were darkened by the things that are not right in the sight of God. Professing to be wise, they became fools. You know, it's interesting. many people whose hearts are darkened by the thoughts and principles of Satan. And their minds are filled with things of unrighteousness. It amazes me how smart these people often think they are. How wise they think they are. And as Paul here says, professing to be wise, they became fools. Therefore, verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. You see, we have a choice. And worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. It all begins in our thinking. Do we allow the things of this world, the things of Satan, to corrupt, to defile, to poison our thinking? In Ephesians 2 in verse 1, Paul there says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So you have two courses here that's mentioned. You have the course of the world, which corrupts, defiles, and destroys. And he's talking about a way of thinking here, right? It's not just a way of acting. He's talking about a way of thinking. And it's the desires of the flesh and the mind that are being fulfilled in an ungodly way that brings about our destruction. And thus, because of our sinful desires and our corrupt way of thinking, we put ourselves in the position of being children of wrath. That is the consequence of sin and a sinful way of thinking. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul goes on. He says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Now, here's a different way of thinking. You have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. What do we allow into our minds? Paul says in Romans 12, in verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. But notice he says in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. The word conformed means to be pressed into an image, to be pressed into the image of the world. The world is controlling your thoughts and actions. In verse 2 he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now that's talking about allowing God through His Word to change the way we think. Taking the truth from God, receiving it, and allowing it now to guide us in our thinking and our acting. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, you will never demonstrate, you will never prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God if you do not first renew your mind. It starts in your mind. Now we've got a choice. To be conformed to this world, to allow the world to form our thinking and our acting, or to have our minds renewed, to have it transformed by the power of God through His Word. That's our choice. The impact of the world is so powerful that it's really hard to not notice it. But at the same time, it is so easy to allow ourselves to be influenced negatively by it. It has often been said that that which is common in the world will eventually find its way into the church. And I think that's very, very true. The impact of the world. You think about the movie industry. And you know, we could talk about pornography. We could talk about rated R movies. We could talk about rated PG-13 movies and how they have gone into, you know, using cursing and sexual innuendo and things of that nature. But we think of Disney as being safe. Not so, my friend. I'm not saying all movies are bad. I'm not saying everything out of Hollywood is bad. I'm not saying everything that Disney produces or Pixar produces is bad. They've got some good movies too. But be careful. We need to be able to discern between what is good and what is bad. And we need to realize that there are sometimes very subtle messages in these movies that we need to recognize and be able to recognize. Television, whether it be sitcoms or reality TV, the news media, we are being influenced by what we see on TV more than you might realize. The sitcoms, and again, I'm not saying that all of them are bad. I'm not saying it's bad to watch. But I'm saying we better be more careful probably than we are. How many sitcoms, especially recently, have a whole lot to do with sex? And this goes back, you know, probably 15, 20 years. How many sitcoms are there now that do not have homosexuals in them? At least one. Most of them do. We have been presented for the last 20 years from Hollywood and from TV that homosexuality is normal and acceptable. Don't think these things have not had an influence on our culture. The music industry, and I could pick on any genre that you want. I could go through and talk about rap, gangster rap or whatever. I could talk about that, how terrible that is. And then you flip over to kissing and you listen to these country songs, and they're talking about, you know, sleeping with this woman or this man, having a one-night stand, getting drunk. We hear this stuff and we think that doesn't affect us. The internet. From porn to Facebook. Evil is at the tip of our fingers. 24/7. Sure, we can do a lot of good things with the internet. A lot of good things. But it's also an avenue of so many evil things. Are we careful about what we allow to come into our minds and through our ears? Do we realize the importance of it? And not just the bad stuff that we might see, that we might watch, that we might listen to, but also just the time that is involved can be detrimental to our spiritual life. We must be able to discern healthy from unhealthy, good from bad, and we also need to rightly understand our own ability to withstand these things. And that's not always an easy thing to do, but we need to develop within our own mind what we are capable of and just guard our hearts from the things that are evil in this world. Do we realize how important that is? My friend, pornography is poison. There are studies after studies talking about the addictive quality and nature of pornography. And when you think about the families that it has ruined, the lives that it has ruined, not to mention the people that are involved in it and the destruction that takes place there. It's just a very destructive industry all the way around. It is an extremely dangerous poison. Filthy language is poison. We allow these things to come into our ears and we become desensitized to these things. Recreational, alcohol, and drug abuse are poison. Destroys lives and families. Filthy language, and by the way, that would include the filthy, nasty jokes that you may hear and laugh at work, or that you may hear on television, and the drug use and alcohol, I mean, everything, it's just a way of life, isn't it, for the world? We're to be different than the world. The cultural views on marriage and sexuality are poison. Our culture tells us that, you know, if you get tired of your wife or your husband, just get a divorce and go find somebody else. Our culture tells us that if you are attracted to someone of the same gender, that's fine. Go get them. Have fun. If you get tired of them, get somebody else. Our culture tells us that you can decide whether you're a man or a woman. Our culture is sick. Hatred. Now, okay, let's move away from these things. What about hatred? What about envy and jealousy? What about racism? And let me tell you, my friend, racism is not just for one race. It applies to anybody who looks down on, thinks less of, denigrates, and does not approve of or like or have anything to do with someone of any other race, whatever it may be. Racism is a poison. Period. And injustice is a poison. We think that we are above it. And I'm not just talking about what goes on in our corrupt court systems here. I'm talking about how we treat each other. I'm talking about how we deal with one another. And how we think that we are above someone else and so we deserve more. And we treat people unfairly. We need to be careful about those things. You see, it's an injustice that it is a problem that has plagued mankind from the beginning. Gossip and slander. How do we think about other people? Is that affected by how or what we hear about the other person from somebody else who is telling us all about their problems? How is our opinion, and this is actually an outgrowth of injustice, we think of somebody negatively because somebody has told us about this person doing something that they shouldn't have done without even going to that person seeing if it's true or without concern for their well-being? Resentment. Resentment and bitterness. Poison. These are poisons of our own attitude. These things are very common in the world, all of them. Do we allow them to enter into our minds and our way of thinking? We must be able to discern and recognize them. We can become desensitized to the world, and we can become desensitized to its danger if we're not extremely, extremely careful and vigilant. That's why Peter refers to Lot in 2 Peter 2, verses 4 through 9. Lot was vexed daily by the wicked deeds of Sodom. Are we becoming desensitized to the sinful society in which we live? Have we allowed worldly toxins to negatively influence our own marriages? Allowing the thinking of Hollywood, the thinking of our culture, to infiltrate our marriage and the way that we think about our spouse. And maybe it's not just Hollywood. Maybe it's some resentment that I'm holding on to. These negative thoughts that I'm allowing to germinate in my mind and thus poison my attitude towards my spouse. Are we allowing these poisonous things to destroy our relationships? Have we allowed worldly toxins to negatively affect us as parents? We hear what all of these psychiatrists are saying, you know. Don't spank your child. Don't spank your child. On Live PD the other night, they got a call. I think this was a couple of weeks ago. And I don't remember which city or county it was in, but it was on Live PD. They got a call about this woman spanking her child in the front yard by the neighbor. The neighbor calls up the cops. They come out there and, you know, they are about to arrest this woman for abuse, child abuse. Then they got to examining the woman who actually did the call. She was drunk as she could be. And she had come over in their yard. She had trespassed. And so anyway, they walked away. But there are places you could get arrested for spanking your child in public. So have we allowed the world to negatively affect us as parents and disciplining our children, teaching them? And not only that, of course, not just regarding discipline, but also just how we deal with our children. We train our children. We teach them the things that we allow them to see, the things that we allow them to hear. Have we allowed worldly toxins to negatively affect our children? By the things that we allow them to do, and the places that we allow them to go. Have we allowed worldly toxins to negatively affect our other relationships, our relationship as children of God? The negative attitudes, the sinful attitudes that we could develop that are so present in the world, anger, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred. You know, division is a result. It's a result or the consequence of sinful attitudes. If everyone had a godly attitude, there would be no division. That applies to the spiritual realm. That applies to the church. That's why the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 emphasized in the first three verses the attitude that we're to have. We're to love each other. We're to be compassionate with each other. We're to be long-suffering towards each other. And then you have the basis or the foundation of our unity, and that is the truth. Verses 4 through 6. But we must have the right attitudes, which comes from the truth, of course, and is manifested to us by God. In Hebrews 12 and verse 14, we're told, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. A root of bitterness? This root of bitterness can get into our thoughts, and it can defile us and destroy us. Here we have the Scripture warning us about this poison. So, these toxins rob us of our joy and our peace, our happiness. They rob us of our confidence. They rob us of our well-being. They rob us of our hope and our life. So do we allow these things to infiltrate our thinking and corrupt our lives, destroying us? Now, let me move on to one more thing and the lesson will be yours. Let me tell you something else that's a dangerous poison. And that is false teaching, false doctrine. It has permeated the religious world. Most of the religious world today, most of the religious world, the Protestant denominational way of thinking generally is this. We are saved by faith alone, before and without anything else. And it's just faith alone. You don't have to be obedient to the Lord. You don't have to do anything. But then they also take the same stance of this stance. They say it really doesn't matter what you believe. Now see, this really is a poison that so permeates the way of thinking that it inoculates us from being able to accept the truth. You think about it like that. If it doesn't matter what you believe, then nothing matters in reality. Of course, Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof, the ways of death. Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins, John 8, 24. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12, Paul there talks about those who do not receive a law for the truth, that they might be saved. And since they did not receive a love for the truth, they had pleasure in unrighteousness. You see, it mattered what they believed. Jesus said in John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Error cannot make you free. People say, well, it's about the man and not the plan. How can you separate the man from the plan? If you truly believe in the name of Jesus Christ, that He is truly Lord, how can you then say, well, it doesn't matter what He said, I just believe in Him. I don't have to believe in what He said. I can just believe in Him. Does that make any sense to you? But we hear that all the time. It's not about the plan, it's about the man. You have to have a relationship with the man. Listen, you cannot have a relationship with the man unless you have a relationship through His plan. That's it. Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? That doesn't work. We are not saved by works. You don't have to obey Jesus. And I know that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any of us should boast. I realize that the Bible teaches that we're saved by grace. That means that we're not saved by our own merit. We're not saved because we deserve it. We are not saved because we have worked enough that we have earned our salvation. Every person who is saved is saved because they don't deserve it. But by God's grace, He has accepted them by their faith and through their faith. So there are passages certainly that talk about you're not saved by those kind of works, the works of merit. But listen, how many passages emphasize the necessity of us obeying Jesus Christ? Over and over in the New Testament, we have that emphasized. Even passages that they try to say, these say you're saved by faith and not by works, or the way they define works is anything you do. And that's not how Paul ever uses the term. What kind of faith did Abraham have, by the way? That's the kind of faith that is held up by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 4 and says, this is the faith that saved you. He was justified by faith. What kind of faith did he have? And we're told in verse 12 of Romans chapter 4 that if we walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, then we'll be blessed too. What kind of faith did he have? He had a kind of faith that when God said do something, he did it. No questions asked. Faith without works is dead, according to James 2, 14 through 26. It's not faith so much, it's not faith plus something, it's faith that something. It's faith that works. Someone says, well, salvation is by faith only. Baptism is not necessary. Mark 16:16 says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. You don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure that one out. You do not have to be a college graduate to figure that one out. You don't have to be a high school graduate to figure that one out. The Bible is too clear on this point. But the false teaching that is out there so permeates the way that people think that they cannot see the truth. Their minds have been poisoned against the truth. Once saved, always saved, we're told, is true because of the finished work of Christ. I heard that over and over while we were talking about that week before last on the radio program. People would write in and they'd say, once saved, always saved is true because of the finished work of Christ. And if you believe that you can lose your salvation, then you don't believe in the finished work of Christ. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, how does that connect? I don't get that. Because there are a lot of sinners out there who are going to hell, and these people who are saying that I don't believe in the finished work of Christ, they agree that these people are going to hell, but you know what? Jesus died for every single one of them. What about the finished work of Christ regarding them? Was it not sufficient for them? He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2 and verse 2 says. Is it not sufficient for them? What about the finished work of Christ? Listen, Jesus did finish His work. He died on the cross. He died once for all, once for everybody, for every sin that has ever been committed or ever will be committed. Yes, He died for it all. But we have to apply that. We have to receive that. We have to accept that. And the only way we can do that is following Jesus by faith. And if we stop following Jesus by faith, listen, what we do is we turn away from that finished work. Hebrews 10, verses 26 through 31. We do in spite of the Spirit of grace. And we trod underfoot the Son of God and count the blood of the covenant whereby we were sanctified a common thing. What about us? If those who transgressed the law of Moses died under the testimony of two or three witnesses, what about those who trod underfoot the Son of God and count the blood of the covenant by which they were sanctified a common thing and done so to insult the Spirit of grace? What about these folks? Lost. And passage after passage denies the concept, but yet people still hold to it. Why? Because their minds have been polluted, poisoned with false teaching. We're told one church is as good as another. One church is as good as another. Does that mean the Mormon church is as good as the Baptist church? Well, I'll put it this way. There is no denomination that is good. Not a one. Not a one. Denominationalism is against the will of Christ. And I'll tell you something else. If you want to compare the churches that men have built and established in history to the church that Jesus Christ purchased with His own blood, you are wasting. There is no comparison. One church is not as good as another. And listen, when you're talking about local churches, a church that is not following Jesus Christ is not as good as one that does. You need to find a church that's following Jesus. You need to find a church where the preacher is preaching about the truth, preaching the truth, and preaching Jesus Christ as revealed in the New Testament. Teaching people what they need to do in order to be saved and be pleasing to their Lord. And following His teaching in all things. Do you really believe that a church that's not following Jesus is as good as a church that is? Jesus came and He died to build His church. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Any church that any man has ever built is not as good as that one. I'm sorry. No comparison. And when people accept false doctrine, well, they're not believing the truth. They can't receive the truth because they have this false concept. You know, whenever you start with a false premise, you are always going to come to a false conclusion. You cannot begin with a false premise and come to a right conclusion unless you go back and change your premise. The truth is not believed because people receive false teaching. And unless and until they are willing to examine their premise, they're not going to receive the truth. And therefore the truth will not be obeyed, it will be ignored, it will be rejected, it will be suppressed, and people will continue to misrepresent it. People will fight against it. People will malign it, ridicule it, and mock it, and hate it. Just like where we started in Romans chapter 1. That's exactly what the result was for those who turned away from God and refused to allow God to govern their thinking, who allowed the world instead to govern their thinking. They turned against God, turned against the truth, and it's happened repeatedly over and over in history. Satan's goal is to pollute our minds. This world is evil, but we're to be holy, separate from the world, living a holy life. We are to be untainted by the world's influence. But in order to do that, we must feed our minds on the things of God, not on the things of the world. We need to guard our minds. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 22 and 23, He says, the lamp of the body is the eye. In other words, that's what comes into the mind. And if our mind is focused on the things of God, that's all that's going to be coming into our mind. That is, I mean, we may see some things that are bad. We may see them, but we don't let them in. You know, it's kind of like Job who said, I will not look upon a woman. He made up his mind. Now, if he saw a naked woman, he had his heart guarded. He wasn't going to think evil about that. He was not going to allow that to come into his mind. There's a difference. What do we allow into our mind? Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Well, no. What about taking things into our minds that are sinful, that are ungodly? That will negatively affect how we think and how we act. Do we take sin as seriously as we ought to? If your right eye causes you to sin, Jesus said, pluck it out. Paul said, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust, Romans 13, 14. And again, Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. We must receive the truth. Obey the truth, 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. Become spiritually minded, truly setting our minds on the things above, and guarding our hearts and our minds by keeping our focus on the things of God. What about our minds? Are we allowing them to be poisoned by this world? Are we allowing them to be poisoned by false teaching? We need to inoculate ourselves the best we can from these things. You know, just like many poisons that exist, there are inoculations that you can take. And we need the truth to inoculate our mind from these evils. Maybe you're here this morning and you realize your need to obey the gospel, whatever your need is this morning. We would love to help you. If you have some problem, if there's something that you're dealing with, we'd love to talk with you and help you. If there's something in your life that you need to turn away from and confess, we'd love to help you. If we can, why don't you do so as together we stand while we sing.